be in the book of Mark in the 5th chapter, Mark chapter number 5. And be with you just for a few minutes tonight out of the Gospel of Mark. And you'll be familiar with this passage of Scripture as soon as we begin to read these two stories that are intermingled in Mark chapter 5. You'll know where we're at. We'll begin our reading in the 21st verse. And for sake of time, we'll read down through the 29th verse. We really, I guess, could read the entire rest of the chapter, but we'll not do that. If you're in Mark 5 and you'd like to stand, you do that at this time. You stand, I'll read, and then we'll pray together, and you can be seated. Mark chapter 5 and the 21st verse. The Bible says, "And when Jesus had passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and it's been all she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." I want you to, just so we understand where we're at, drop down to verse number 39. Now, Jairus has received word that his daughter is dead, and there's no sense in Jesus coming to the house any longer, but he goes on and takes Peter, James, and John into the house with him in verse 39. And so when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? And the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment." Father, I pray you help us in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. I mentioned to you the last time we were together in Mark chapter 5 that this is one of the most famous chapters in this entire book. The reason that this is one of the most famous chapters, not only in this book but any of the Gospels, is because in this one chapter we're given three of the greatest miracles, the most well-known miracles anyway, of Jesus Christ. We're given in the first part of the chapter the miracle of the demons. You remember how Jesus cast out the demons out of that demonic man in the city of the Gadarenes. And then we're given the miracle of the disease. We meet the woman that has an issue of blood for 12 years and touches the hem of his garment and is healed. And then at the end of the chapter, we're given the miracle of death, where there's this 12-year-old girl that dies, but Jesus touches her, speaks to her, and the dead comes back to life, and Jesus gives her life again. And we discussed this first miracle a couple Sunday nights ago. The beginning of this second miracle, the miracle of the disease, could not have been any different. The beginning of this miracle could not have been any different than the ending of the last miracle. If you think about it, there's the Sea of Galilee, and on one side of the Sea of Galilee, there is a group of people that are relieved that Jesus is leaving. They're happy that he's going. And on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there's a group of people that are rushing to the seashore because they are excited that Jesus is coming. We know that when Jesus healed the demonic man, probably two demonic men in Mark chapter 5, that he cast those devils out, and they asked Jesus if they could go into a herd of swine. He allowed them, and the swine rushed violently down the hill and drowned themselves. And those pig farmers, those Jews who were outside the will of God, said, "I wish and we pray that you would leave our coast." Allow me to say something in passing, and then I'll get into where we're getting tonight. Allow me to say that Jesus never stays around too long anywhere where he's not welcome. That's the reason that we must be careful when we come to church and the Holy Ghost does a work in our heart and he speaks to our heart about something and we say, you know, I don't want to go to the altar tonight. I don't want to go to the altar today. I just went last Sunday. I can't make that decision today because I've got this and this and this going on. Anytime you resist and you push away the Holy Spirit, you're on dangerous ground because God may even never come back. Amen. That's why we've got to be careful when we come to church, not only as individuals, but collectively as a unit. You see, the Holy Spirit is easily quenched and he's easily grieved. And when he comes into the church and he asks you to do something, you ought to do it because it might be that you're pushing him away and not doing what he said to do. You could be hindering the service in some capacity. Amen? If he tells you to raise your hand and shout, raise your hand and shout. If he tells you to clap, clap. If he tells you to sing, sing. If he tells you to testify, testify. If he tells you to do it, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. So Jesus leaves the Sea of Galilee, and that group of people are happy to wave goodbye to him. But on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, according to our text, there's a group of people that are just as happy to see him coming. In fact, we will soon see that there are two people in this group that are waiting on Jesus. There are two people that are especially glad to see him come. Tonight, I want us to look at the story of these two people. You know their stories. If I was to give you a microphone tonight and say, tell me the story of the woman with the issue of blood, you could tell it to me. If I said, tell me the story of Jairus and his daughter, you could tell me that story. But in these familiar stories, I believe we can find something that is applicable and helpful in our lives today. Because in Mark chapter 5, there are two people that face troubles and trials. And when we look at their troubles and we look at their trials, we can find out some things that we can do in our troubles and trials that will help us. In fact, this won't surprise you much. I think there are three things that we can do found right here in this text. I want to preach tonight on this thought, tips for times of trouble. Tips for times of trouble. I want you to see three principles out of Mark 5, and I'm going to get some Little Caesar's pizza. Number one, I want you to see the principle of finding. The principle of finding. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, speaking of Jesus, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now look at verse 27. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garments. Now this is always amazing to me, the way Mark paints the picture in the latter part of this chapter. In this chapter, we are given a story of two people that could not have lived any different lives. These are two completely different lives that are both touched by times of tragedy. Here is an officer in the synagogue, and here is a nobody woman. I say she's a nobody, we're not even given her name. Here is a wealthy man, and here's a woman that has gone bankrupt because she spent everything she had on physicians. Here is a man that is facing sudden tragedy. His daughter just suddenly got sick. And here's a woman that has been battling her sickness for many, many years. These are two completely different stories. But interestingly enough, there are two things that are very similar about these stories. First of all, the timing of the stories is interesting to me. I've showed you this before. You know this. The first thing is the timing of the event. It is interesting that according to verse number 25, the woman in our story has been battling her disease for 12 years. 12 years she's been sick, she's been bleeding, she's been hurting, 12 years she's been dealing with it. And then I believe it's verse 42, The Bible tells us that when Jairus' daughter is healed, the scripture just throws this in there. It says, and she was 12 years old. What about that? Here's a woman been battling a disease for 12 years, and here's a little girl, 12 years old, that is sick and dies. I'll say more about that in a minute. The second thing in this story that is similar is that both of these people, when troubles and trials come into their life, both of these people found hope and found help in Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes off of the ship, both of these people immediately go to where Jesus is because they believe that Jesus is the answer to their problems. It seems that the fame of Christ had undoubtedly spread to this city. We know this is true because the group of people that go out to meet him when he gets off the ship. Therefore, it is reasonable to believe that both Jairus and this unnamed woman had heard of the miracles of Christ. They knew that if they were going to find help for what they were dealing with, they would find it in Jesus Christ. Allow me to say tonight that there is still hope and there is still help in Jesus Christ. And when life comes against us and the devil comes against us and when the world comes against us, can I say that we can still find help where these people found it? We can find help in Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I like that song Brother Scott sings. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Amen. He's the answer to whatever you're going through. But you know, the reality is that most of the time when troubles come, we waste our time. We waste our time because we run to somebody else to try to get them to help us. We waste our time worrying over our problems. We waste our time trying to fix the problems by ourselves. When in reality, what we ought to do when trouble comes is the same thing that Jairus did and this woman did. We ought to make a beeline to wherever Jesus Christ is because he's really the help that we need. Amen. Now let me address something here real fast. Let me say that there may be somebody here tonight, and this is easy to feel this way when trials come and troubles come. Somebody here tonight might say, well, preacher, I'm going through difficulties and I would like to find Jesus, but I'm having a hard time finding him. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been in my life in times when I've prayed and it didn't feel like anything happened. Amen? And I've got up from my prayers and I thought, boy, oh boy, did I even really accomplish anything? If you're having a hard time finding Jesus, can I suggest a couple places to look for him? Can I make a suggestion to you? If you want to find Jesus, a good place for you to start looking is you need to start looking right smack dab in the middle of your problems. You know what we do when troubles and trials come into our life? We run from our problems and we run from our trials and we run from our difficulties. And it may be the reason you're having a hard time finding Jesus is because he's still in the middle of the problem that you're running away from. You know how I know you can start by looking in the middle of your problems? Because Jesus said he would never let one of his children walk through something that he didn't walk through with them. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He said, when you go through water and you go through fire, which are the two judgments in the Bible, when you go through water and you go through fire, I'll be with you every step of the way. You want to find Jesus, you might find him right in the middle of your problems. You think about the three Hebrew children. The three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they stood before Nebuchadnezzar and they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't know. At least they were honest. They said, we don't know whether God will deliver us or not. But here's what we know. We know he's able. And we know whether he delivers us or not, we ain't bowing to your image. And they stayed. They could have ran from that problem, Brother David, but they just stuck it out. And you know what they found in the middle of their problem? The fourth man, the Son of God, walking in that furnace with them. Had they have run from their problems, they never would have walked with him in the fire. And it might be that what you're going through so Jesus can put his arm around you and walk through it with you. You might find him in the middle of whatever you're going through. Can I make another suggestion where you might find him? You might find him in the church house. Again, we run from the problem. And you know what else people do? They run from the church. Trouble comes and we run from the church. I don't know why people do that. Think about something with me. I don't think that the Bible just puts words and phrases in there just to fill pages and take up text. There's a reason and a purpose for everything that's in your Bible. Therefore, there's a reason the Bible says this woman had been dealing with this disease for 12 years. And there's a reason the Bible said this girl's 12 years old. The stories would have been just as impactful if that piece of information would have been left out. It still would have been a great story, Brother Steve. A little girl dies and Jesus calls her back to life. That still was a great story. A woman that's been sick for a number of years is healed by touching his garment. That's still a great story. Why tell us that it was 12? I think there's a reason the Bible says it's 12. Do you know what the number 12 means in your Bible? The number 12 is the number of government, and it's the number of the church. There were 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament church. There are 12 disciples and 12 apostles that founded the New Testament church. Jesus was 12 when they found him in the church teaching to the doctors. There will be 12 gates and 12 foundations to the New Jerusalem, the city the church will live in. The church will eat the tree of life that'll bear 12 manner of fruits. God will send out 144,000 Jews, 12 times 12, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God in the book of Revelation. Hey, he's telling us, if you want to find Jesus, look for him in the church. Amen. There have been times, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to take off my super spiritual coat for a minute, okay? I'm going to lay it down. There's been some times I didn't feel like coming to church. I did not feel like coming to church. I'd just rather sit home, just enjoy the mully grubs. You know how it is. Sometimes you're having a good pity party. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. But I've noticed something. There have been too many times that I've not felt like it, but I've come on anyways. And I've gotten the church house and somebody started singing a song. Or a preacher started preaching a message. And I was going through something that was difficult and hard. And I didn't want to be in church. But before I realized what was happening, oh, that sweet Holy Ghost began to flutter around in my soul. And he began to whisper sweet nothings to my soul. And he began to tell me it's going to be okay. And I've still got this. And I'm still in control. And hey, it's better on the other side. And before I realized it, I come in with my lip dragging the ground. But I left with joy in my soul because I come to the house of God. And I found Jesus was there. Amen. Hey, you can find the Lord. You can find the Lord in his house. Amen. I see a principle of finding. Number two, not only do I see a principle of finding, I see a principle of faith. A principle of faith. Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Verse 36. Jesus, and as soon as Jesus had heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I've many times visualized this woman standing in the crowd as Jesus passed by. She's undoubtedly weak and frail. She's a nobody with nothing to her name. But in her heart, she's got faith. And in her heart, she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that if she can get to where Jesus is, and she can just touch the border of his garment, that there's enough healing power in his clothes that she can be healed of her disease. In fact, it is interesting to me that the scripture tells us, and I'm going to use the King James wording here, that there's a group of people, and I quote, thronging him. You get the picture, those people like a celebrity getting off an airplane or a bus or something, and those people around him just trying to get to him and touch him. And there's a group of people thronging Jesus, the Bible says. But of all the people that are thronging Jesus in this crowd, it is only said of one of them, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now you think about something. There's undoubtedly other people in this crowd that have problems in their life. There's other people in this crowd that are sick and need a help from the Lord. But it's only said of one, your faith has made you whole. She undoubtedly had heard about Jesus, what he had done for others. And she knew what he had done for others, he could do the same for her. In fact, she had such strong faith that she knew she didn't even have to talk to him. She didn't have to convince him. She didn't have to plead with him. All she had to do was touch him. And if she could touch him, that would be good enough. She had such strong faith that in spite of the crowd, she pushed her way through. She made her way through till she got to where he was. And she reached out and she touched him. Brother Scott, this woman had faith. If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She's got the kind of faith James tells us to have, the kind of faith I'd like to have. James said in James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed in the wind. James said, have faith and don't doubt. I'd like to have that kind of faith. But that's the kind she had. This is the kind of faith that Abraham had when he stood at the bottom of Mount Moriah, knowing he's going to go offer Isaac, and not understanding what's going to happen on the top, but believing him and Isaac are coming back down. That kind of faith. I wish I had that kind of faith. But you know the kind of faith I often have? It's the kind the disciples had in the chapter previous to this, chapter 4. When the storm came and the lightning flashed and the difficulty come in their life, and they run to Jesus and said, don't you even care? We're about to die. That's the kind of faith we have more often than not. But let me show you something that blessed me this week. There are two characters in our story. There's this woman, and she has great faith. And I thank God for people that have faith. In fact, according to the Apostle Paul, faith is a gift that God gives some of the body of believers in the church. There are some people that can prop up others with their great faith, and I'm grateful for those people. This woman had great faith. But I'm not sure Jairus did. I'm not sure Jairus' faith was at the same level as hers. She said, I can just get where he's at. Oh, that's enough. But when they looked at Jairus and said, don't trouble the master any longer, she's dead. I'm not sure that his faith was as strong in that moment. In fact, I believe that his world just instantly came crumbling down at his feet. His little girl had just died. But you know, Jesus does two wonderful things for this man in this chapter to help his faith. You know what he does? The first thing that he does is he stops the parade of people in the street and he calls attention to this woman that has just received a miracle. Jesus is walking, she touches him, and he immediately knows something's happened and he stops. And I bet when she stopped, but when he stopped, she thought, uh-oh. Who touched me? He said, Grandpa, who touched me? Oh, there's all kinds of people touching you, Jesus. That's what the disciples said. He said, yeah, but somebody touched me. She knew who it was. She knew it was her. Jesus calls attention to this woman. And he says, with the crowd gathered around, he looks at the woman And he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. He calls attention to it. You say, why did he call attention to it? Because, Brother Scott, there was about to be a man receive the worst news he would ever get in his life. His daughter was dead. And Jesus wanted him to see the miracle done in this woman's heart, because Jesus wanted Jairus to know, if I'm able to do something miraculous for her, I'm able to do something miraculous for you. I'm thankful for when God does something good in one of your all's life. You know why I'm thankful when God does something good in one of your all's life? Because you get up and you tell us about it. And that gives the Holy Ghost the opportunity to speak to my soul and say, if I could do for them, I can do that for you. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I don't begrudge you when God does a miracle, God does something good in your life. Thrills my soul because it teaches me that he can do the same for me. But you know what else he did for him? Not only did Jesus call attention to this woman's miracle, the Bible says that Jesus spoke to him. When they said, your daughter's dead, don't trouble the master any longer, Jesus looked at Jairus. He said, be not afraid, only believe. You know what he did? Jesus gave him his word. You know what Jesus does for you and for me when our faith is weak and we don't know if we can make it another day and we don't know if we'll ever get out of the darkness that's engulfed us? You know what he does? He whispers his word to us. He gives us his word. There have been so many times that I've found things in this Bible that I've never seen before. They've always been there. It's never changed. But it's like God just lets something jump out of a text and says, that's for you. I'm still in control. I've got this. Don't be afraid. Just believe. His word. He gives us his word. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, if you're going through something tonight, you know why Jesus gave us these two stories? Because he wants us to know that if I did that for them, I can sure enough do it for you. Oh, the songwriter got it right when they said, he whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. I'm thankful for his word that gives me faith. Number three, I'm out of here. I see a principle of faith. I see a principle of finding. I see a principle of furtherance. Verse 34. He said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go, 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 go in peace. Verse 43. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it. Commanded that something should be given her to eat. I don't think that either of these families ever forgot what happened to them this day. I'm just going to use my imagination and say that these stories were probably told and retold at dinner tables for years to come. I can imagine a gray-headed grandma holding a baby in her arms. So let me tell you the story of the day that Jesus Christ come into my life and changed me. You say, which one was it? It could have been either one of these two young ladies that got touched. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. If you wake up tomorrow to a storm, find Jesus. Have faith. And then let me give you three tips, rapid fire tips, and I'm out of here. Number one, when Jesus helps you and he does what needs to be done in your life, number one, would you thank him for it? Let it never be said of us that we were like those 10 that were cleansed and never come back to tell the Lord thank you. May I say number two, if God does something for you, share it with somebody else. This principle of furthering what God has done. You see, God's done something for you, not only for the purpose of helping you, but for the purpose of helping someone else. And then when you see somebody going through something similar to what you went through, why don't you go sit down next to them on the pew and put your arm around them and say, I know what you're going through. I've been there. And let me say from experience, God's got the answer that you need. And then let me say number three. I want you to remember. Remember what he does in your life, because the next time a storm pops up, you're going to need that memory to go back to. Go back to that memory and say, if he did it so greatly then, he can do it greatly again now. Brother Scott, why don't you get us a song? I don't know if there's anybody here tonight and you're going through something, you're dealing with something. You need to come pray. But these altars are open. And if you need to come pray, you come while he sings.